This is the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. Hello and welcome to the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News, where we take the region's top stories and analyze and review their broader context. In a recent development covered extensively for the past 2 days, Indian Navy Marcos Marine Commandos successfully captured the MV Rouen, a commercial vessel hijacked by Somali pirates in December 2023. This episode marks a significant victory against piracy in the region and the rescue of 17 crew members held hostage for over 3 months. The MV Rouen's capture comes after a concerning rise in maritime attacks, particularly by the Houthis. However, it's important to note that this operation targeted Somali pirates, not the Houthis. The Indian Navy located the MV Rouen near the Yemeni island of Socotra, situated in the Indian Ocean outside Houthi-controlled territory. The operation commenced early on March 17, 2024, with Indian destroyers approaching the MV Rouen. At approximately 6 AM EST, Marcos personnel boarded the vessel and secured it, apprehending 35 Somali pirates. Reports indicate no Indian casualties during this operation, showcasing the professionalism and skill of the Marcos. This success provides a much-needed counterpoint to the recent surge in piracy. It's important to remember the fate of the MV Abdullah, another vessel possibly seized by the same pirate group. As of now, no information is available regarding the MV Abdullah's status. The Marcos, established in 1987, have steadily gained experience and international recognition for their capabilities. They specialize in diverse maritime operations, including operations in Jammu and Kashmir on the Chelum River and Wular Lake, alongside counterinsurgency missions in the region. The successful capture of the MV Rouen further underscores their growing reputation as a highly skilled and effective special forces unit. While this operation is a win for the Indian Navy and international efforts against piracy, the situation in the region remains complex. Continued vigilance and cooperation will be crucial in ensuring the safety of commercial vessels and their crews navigating these waters. Next, South Korea is currently grappling with a complex situation in its healthcare system. The government has proposed a significant increase in medical school enrollment quotas, a move vehemently opposed by medical professionals across the country. This episode highlights the challenges of balancing future healthcare needs with the concerns of the existing workforce. The crux of the issue lies in the government's plan to address a projected shortage of doctors by 2035. With an aging population and a potential shortfall of 15,000 doctors, they aim to increase medical school enrollment from 3,058 to 5,058 annually. This quota hike is a non-negotiable aspect of their plan, according to the government. However, medical professionals across various levels, students, residents, doctors, and private practitioners, have strongly condemned the proposal. Their primary concern is a potential decline in the quality of care due to a less experienced workforce. An influx of new doctors could lead to a surplus, impacting salaries, benefits, and potentially even legal protections. Additionally, overworked and underpaid medical staff worry that the increased workload will further strain the system. The situation escalated in February when thousands of medical professionals walked off the job and submitted mass resignations. The government responded by declaring the strike a medical crisis and allowing access to alternative healthcare facilities like military hospitals. Despite these measures, the protests continue with no signs of abating. The South Korean government maintains that the quota increase is necessary to address the projected shortage and improve healthcare for the aging population. They have even threatened to revoke licenses and prosecute those who don't return to work. However, their unwillingness to negotiate has only intensified the standoff. A potential compromise could involve a reduced quota increase, coupled with addressing some of the concerns raised by medical professionals, such as longer working hours and inadequate compensation. However, with neither side currently willing to budge, the conflict seems likely to persist in the near future. Next, China recently announced a new baseline for its territorial waters in the Gulf of Tonkin, a move that has reignited tensions with Vietnam. Let's delve into the details and potential implications of this announcement. On March 1st, China's foreign ministry unveiled a new baseline consisting of 6 coordinate points in the northern part of the Gulf of Tonkin, also known as the Beibu Gulf. This move fills a gap in China's previously established baselines and aligns with its right under the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, UNCLOS, to establish territorial sea baselines. China justifies the new baseline on two grounds. Firstly, it clarifies the legal status of waters in the northern Gulf of Tonkin, allowing for standardized management and resource utilization by relevant provinces. Secondly, it supports China's strategic goal of becoming a maritime power and fosters economic development in nearby provinces. Vietnam's reaction has been measured. While acknowledging the 2000 agreement demarcating the Gulf of Tonkin with China, Vietnam emphasizes that countries must comply with UNCLOS when establishing baselines. They maintain that the new baseline shouldn't infringe on Vietnam's existing rights and interests, particularly freedom of navigation. Interestingly, Vietnam hasn't directly challenged China's right to establish a baseline, but emphasizes it should be done according to UNCLOS. They've also reserved their legal rights under international law. While China claims the new baseline only affects China and Vietnam, analysts believe it could be a tactic to pressure Vietnam into renegotiating the 2000 agreement or potentially staking a claim on contested areas like Vanguard Bank. China's history of disregarding international law in the South China Sea raises concerns about potential future actions. The announcement could also impact Vietnam's second-largest port, Haiphong, due to the extended territorial and contiguous zones. The United States, a vocal advocate for freedom of navigation in the South China Sea, might be hesitant to conduct similar operations in the Gulf of Tonkin due to its proximity to the Chinese mainland. Vietnam might also be reluctant to seek external assistance for fear of economic retaliation from China. China's new baseline in the Gulf of Tonkin adds another layer of complexity to regional maritime disputes. While Vietnam has expressed its concerns, the full impact remains to be seen. Whether this remains a simmering disagreement or escalates into a larger confrontation depends on future actions by both China and Vietnam. The role of the United States in navigating this situation will also be a point to watch. Next, we delve into the recent comments by a high-ranking Chinese military official regarding the country's H-20 stealth bomber program. The H-20 is a next-generation subsonic strategic bomber under development by China. This aircraft design incorporates features like a flying wing shape and radar-absorbent materials to minimize its radar signature, making it difficult to detect by enemy radar systems. Lieutenant General Wang Wei, the People's Liberation Army Air Force, PULAF, Deputy Commissar, recently hinted at an imminent public unveiling of the H-20.
Yep.
During an interview with a Hong Kong newspaper reporter, Wang stated that the bomber's development faced no major obstacles and its official reveal would happen soon. He also highlighted the aircraft's significance for China's military capabilities. While Wang's comments suggest an upcoming unveiling, it's important to consider the context. Military officials often use public pronouncements to deliver messages to various audiences. In this case, Wang might be addressing the Chinese public, signaling national progress and technological prowess. He might also be aiming to boost morale within the PLAAF. Furthermore, Wang's position as deputy commissar adds another layer. Commissars play a crucial role in promoting the Chinese Communist Party's CCP agenda within the military. Therefore, Wang's statements could be seen as a way to generate public interest and excitement surrounding the H-20 program. The popularity of these comments online, particularly within China, further supports the idea of a staged announcement. Similar comments by another official regarding a new aircraft carrier also garnered significant online attention. These coordinated pronouncements suggest a controlled media strategy to build anticipation for the H-20's unveiling. While the exact time frame for the unveiling remains unclear, Wang's comments suggest it could happen within the next year. This development comes amidst the backdrop of the U.S. Air Force's recent unveiling of its own B-21 Raider stealth bomber. The competition between these two superpowers in the realm of strategic bombers is a trend worth keeping an eye on. We'll continue to monitor developments surrounding the H-20 program and bring you further updates as they emerge. Now, we're diving into the recent establishment of the Maldives' first Air Corps and their acquisition of Bayraktar TB2 drones from Turkey. On March 15th, President Muizu announced the creation of the Air Corps, a significant step for the Maldives' national defense. The event also saw the induction of three TB2 drones in a nighttime ceremony. President Muizu emphasized the importance of this move for the Maldives' sovereignty and security. He highlighted the vastness of the Maldives' exclusive economic zone, EEZ, and the need for efficient monitoring. He stressed that the use of UAVs wouldn't hinder the Maldives' good relations with other countries. The TB2 drones are known for their effectiveness in surveillance and combat operations. Their arrival significantly boosts the Maldives' ability to monitor its vast territory. The basing of these drones at Mafru International Airport suggests initial testing for 24/7 surveillance missions. The temporary hangar lease indicates the government's plan to establish a permanent base, either by building a new hangar or utilizing another atoll. This move by the Maldives appears to be part of a broader effort to reduce reliance on India for territorial monitoring. President Muizu's decision to visit Turkey and China before India, a first for a Maldivian president, is a strong indicator. Additionally, negotiations are underway for the withdrawal of roughly 90 Indian military personnel stationed in the Maldives to operate surveillance aircraft. The acquisition of TB2s has also sparked controversy. The opposition Maldives Democratic Party, MDP, alleges corruption in the deal, citing the rapid timeframe and lack of transparency. The MDP claims they were previously in talks with a friendly country, likely India, regarding acquiring drones for free. The lack of details surrounding the number of TB2s purchased and the extent of Turkish donations adds fuel to the fire. While some aspects of the deal might be continuations of efforts by the previous government, bypassing budgetary procedures raises red flags. The secrecy surrounding the deal's specifics further suggests potential corruption, including the possible misuse of funds for the upcoming elections. Overall, the establishment of the Air Corps and the acquisition of TB2 drones mark a turning point for the Maldives' national defense capabilities. However, questions regarding transparency and potential corruption surrounding the deal require further investigation. We'll continue to monitor developments and bring you any updates as they emerge. Next, North Korea has taken another step towards developing a new hypersonic missile, according to a recent announcement by the Korean Central News Agency, KCNA. The state media outlet reported that the country successfully test-fired a multi-stage solid-fuel engine designed for a medium-to-long-range hypersonic missile. Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un himself supervised the test, which took place at the Sohae satellite launching site. Kim reportedly expressed satisfaction with the results, emphasizing the engine's strategic importance for North Korea's military. He also highlighted the successful completion of a 5-year weapons development plan, outlined by the ruling Korean Workers' Party, KWP. This engine test is part of North Korea's ongoing efforts to bolster its military capabilities. In 2021, Kim outlined various military goals during the 8th KWP Congress, including the development of operational hypersonic missiles. North Korea has conducted several tests of hypersonic missiles in recent years, with varying degrees of success. Analysts believe this latest engine test could signify advancements in North Korea's hypersonic missile program. The focus on a solid-fuel engine suggests an attempt to improve the missile's propulsion system and range. An operational hypersonic missile with an extended range could pose a significant threat to U.S. military bases in the Western Pacific, including Guam and Hawaii. The potential threat of hypersonic missiles would complicate U.S. military planning in the region. Defending against such weapons would require significant resources dedicated to locating and destroying launch sites.
This would put a strain on U.S. military manpower and equipment, potentially impacting operations elsewhere.
It's important to note that North Korea's claims about their military capabilities don't always reflect reality. Previous tests haven't always shown the level of advancement North Korea claims. However, this latest development suggests continued progress in their hypersonic missile program, warranting close attention from the international community. We'll continue to monitor the situation and bring you further updates as they emerge. Now, we'll be discussing the recent incident involving a Philippine Bureau of Fisheries and Aquatic Resources, BFAR, vessel and Chinese maritime vessels near Thitu Island in the South China Sea. This event highlights the ongoing territorial disputes in the region and the potential for escalating tensions. On March 20, 2024, a Philippine BFAR vessel approached Thitu Island for routine resupply and civilian activities. According to reports, the Philippine sailors encountered a Chinese Navy vessel, possibly a Type 054A frigate, along with at least 9 Chinese maritime militia vessels, all following within 10 nautical miles of the island. Social media buzzed with initial reports suggesting a Chinese helicopter overflying the area and Chinese vessels communicating with the Philippine ship. However, these claims remain unverified as several social media posts regarding the incident were deleted. The situation escalated further when the Chinese Coast Guard spokesperson declared that 34 Philippine personnel had illegally landed on Whitsun Reef, located near Thitu Island, on March 21st. China maintains its historical and legal claim over the Spratly Islands, including Whitsun Reef, and considers the Philippine presence a violation of its territorial sovereignty. Additionally, China views the Philippines' actions as a breach of the Declaration on the Conduct of Parties in the South China Sea, an agreement aimed at maintaining peace and stability in the region. China's Coast Guard urged the Philippines to immediately halt its infringements and emphasized its resolve to uphold its rights through law enforcement activities. It's important to understand the context of this event. Thitu Island, also known as Whitsun Reef, was captured by the Philippines from Taiwan in 1971. Currently, it stands as the Philippines' most prominent military installation in the Spratly Islands, an archipelago largely dominated by China. Notably, Thitu Island also houses the only civilian settlement in the entire island chain, with a small community supported by essential facilities like a market and a school. The civilian population on the island is estimated to be between 30 and 50 people. The recent standoff highlights the complex geopolitical situation in the South China Sea. Multiple countries, including the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, Brunei, and Taiwan, stake claims on various islands and reefs in the region. China, however, asserts its dominance over nearly the entire South China Sea through its nine-dash line, a maritime demarcation line not recognized by the international community. The incident underscores the potential for further escalation in the South China Sea. Tensions have been simmering for years, fueled by competing territorial claims and the increasing presence of military vessels from various countries. It's crucial for all parties involved to prioritize peaceful resolution through diplomatic channels and open communication to prevent this fragile situation from spiraling out of control. Finally, we delve into the news of the Philippines' claim that the Abu Sayyaf Group, ASG, a notorious Islamist terrorist organization, has been fully dismantled. This announcement comes after decades of insurgency in the southern Philippines, marked by violence and kidnappings. Lieutenant General William Gonzalez, chief of the Western Mindanao Command, Westmincom, shared this news during a forum. While acknowledging scattered remnants, General Gonzalez emphasized that the all high-value individuals, the leadership, we have all neutralized them. This refers to the successful elimination of KASG figures through military operations, significantly weakening the group's capacity. The remaining members, estimated at around 20, are said to be scattered across Basilan and Sulu provinces. These individuals are believed to be lying low, lacking the organization and resources to carry out large-scale attacks. Interestingly, General Gonzalez also mentioned ongoing negotiations with these remnants and their families, aiming for their demobilization. This suggests a multi-pronged approach by the Philippine government, combining military pressure with potential pathways to reintegrate these individuals. Now let's analyze the factors contributing to the ASG's decline. Military operations by the Armed Forces of the Philippines, AFP, played a crucial role. These operations targeted high-ranking members alongside those of affiliated groups like the Maute Group Daula Islamia, MGDI. Notably, December 2023 saw the deaths of purported leaders from both groups, further crippling their operations. The ASG's decline stretches back further. The group's alliance with the Islamic State, IS, in 2014 initially aimed to bolster their capabilities. However, it appears to have backfired. The devastating siege of Marawi City in 2017, while showcasing some remaining strength, ultimately weakened the ASG. Interestingly, the December 2023 bombing at Mindanao State University also points towards this decline. Here, the Islamic State likely relied on a different affiliated group, MGDI, for a more substantial attack, suggesting the ASG's reduced operational capacity. The dismantling of the ASG is a significant development for the Philippines. However, it's important to acknowledge the remaining challenges. Continued vigilance and efforts to address the root causes of extremism are crucial to prevent resurgence. Negotiations with remnants and their families offer a potential path towards lasting peace, but their success remains to be seen. This story serves as a reminder of the complexities of counterinsurgency efforts, where military action must be coupled with social and economic programs to achieve long-term stability.